I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to I'll Have What She's Having, a food and drink podcast from me, Sophie Wybird.
And me, Hannah Crosby. Every week, Sophie and I sit down to dinner. She makes a dish, I pair a wine, and we put the world to rights. This week, we pair beef bourguignon tacos with a red sparkling wine.
And we talk Drake's book, Anxious Gigging, and how much Doja Cat hates her fans.
Hello! Welcome. We always look at each other with expectation like, about who's going to actually start the episode. We're here. We made it, guys. It's the final episode of season 3.
And it's gone so fast.
It has gone really fast. I kind of feel a little bit sad that it's going to be over and I'm not going to see you once every 2 weeks now. Actually, I see you way more than that.
I know,
sad, right?
You can't get rid of me, babe.
Yeah, I know.
I'll be here.
I literally turn up to an event. She's there. I'm like, fuck's sake. Oh God, get just, away from me.
We'll be
me.
Texting and then I'll turn up somewhere and be like, oh, you again.
As you can hear, we have the specialist of guests for our final, our episode finale, our series finale. This week, we welcome singer-songwriter Yasmin Lacey. Yasmin started life as a youth worker, which I literally just found out and typed into the intro before coming up in the local acoustic scene in Nottingham. She then grew acclaim with the release of her astounding personal faves, first two EPs, Black Moon and When the Sun Dips 90 Degrees, which is how I first discovered Yasmin. However, this past year has seen the release of her first full-length album, Voice Notes, a beautifully written piece inspired by the voice notes, memos and reminders she's typed down on her phone. 5 stars from The Guardian. Did you know that's pretty good?
Very good. Very good.
Pretty impressive. She's somehow found time in her insane touring schedule to sit down with us and have a glass of wine. Yasmin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for that. Was such a nice intro, babe.
Oh, like, thank you.
Super cute.
I usually kind of actually totally forgot to run it by you and fact check it, but I'm glad. Did everything sound right here?
Many
when
lies.
When you pull it up online, you kind of expect all the facts to be accurate. However, the first time that I met Easter was interviewing her for a podcast. Are all mutual friends of Easter Belfridge.
Yeah.
And she said, sorry, babe, that's wrong. She's like, sorry, babe, that's wrong. I was like, okay, you know, sorry. Then I corrected it and went, okay, kept going. She's like, no, sorry, babe, that's wrong. Awesome.
A lot of fake news out there.
There's a lot of fake news out there.
Nothing is true on Wikipedia.
A lot of fake news about Easter Belfridge. But enough about her. She's not here.
But we do love you, Easter.
But we do love her. We love you, Easter. How are you?
I am very well. I'm pleased to be here.
Yes.
This smells really good. And it's nice to just sit down and chat with you guys.
How long has it been since your album was released and how have you found that process?
3rd of March.
That's
like, what are we in now? How many?
July.
So it's been out a while now. Oh my gosh, why is it taking
I can't fucking count.
No, it doesn't matter.
April, May, June,
four.
Okay. Somewhere in the
middle. So it's been out a little while. When it first came out, honestly, I just felt relieved. You feel like you've got this like musical secret that you're just like holding on to for so long. And you know, and like, I just like, you know, like it doesn't feel real. Like, and obviously it feels real, but you like do all this like work leading up and then it's like, is it actually going to come out ever? Like, you're just like, oh, I've done it, you know? So I felt like that. And I have just been having a whale of a time. Like, I've loved it. Like, I've loved playing the record out and, like, yeah, I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
You've been touring it all over, playing loads of festivals this summer as well. You've been a very, very busy lady.
Played some festivals, been to some different countries. Like, yeah, it's been good.
What has been your favourite spot you've toured in so far?
Honestly, I've loved it all. Like, we've been to Brazil. That was sick.
Whoa.
I've been to Brazil for some gigs before, but this time I went to Rio. I've never been to Rio before.
Oh, how was it?
It was amazing. We played this festival. It was just like, I just love the vibe out there. They love music. Like, everywhere you go, there's music. And went to Australia. That was sick. Had a lot of fun in Melbourne. Stayed a few days after. Went to Japan. That was probably my favourite because it was just so mind-blowing. Do you know what I mean?
Been before?
Never been. It's like one of those places I want to go, but it's so far, so expensive. You're like, oh, yeah.
How am I going to
like navigate like the language, blah, blah, blah. But I just loved it. Ate very well.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
God, some really good food spots there, actually. Brazil, Melbourne.
Exactly.
Quite clever, and
we've been getting the food in.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, that's another. We just had Danai Moore on the podcast and we asked her the same question I'm about to ask you.
Yeah.
Touring and food, because it tends to go one of two ways. You either kind of like completely are just like, just give me fuel. Like, I've got no time. Or you take time to like seek things out and like want to make like a little mental map of everywhere you want to go. Where do you sit on that spectrum?
Sometimes it's just time, like, but then I'll always try and get one like night, like where we can sit down as a band, like not backstage, mm-hmm. and like have something nice to eat. Like, to be honest, we all love food in the band as well, so we just get it in. And like Japan, we had some nice wagyu beef,
ooh.
And like a nice like hot pot. It was amazing. So sometimes you're just on the go though, and sometimes it's just like whatever you can grab, and then sometimes it's like, nah, let's have a moment. Go for a meal.
What have been some of your favourite food highlights from this touring cycle?
Definitely that wagyu beef was amazing. It was so good. And it like came with all the like little bits, and then you just like, it was like at tables where you have your own like water bowl, and it's like boiled water bowl? We're boiling
hot
water. Hot pot, yeah. And so like that was a really nice one. Ooh. What else we've been eating? Oh, we went wine tasting in Australia.
Ooh.
And like we had like dinner at this really nice restaurant that overlooks the vineyard. That was a good one. And Brazil, Brazil was quite tiring. I don't know if we went out for dinner with everyone on that one. But yeah. So.
Sam Jones, mutual friend and drummer for Yaz, said, oh, it was just chips.
What, in Brazil?
In Brazil.
It was like, we were so tired. And then it was like, by the time we finished, it was like, should we grab some food? And there was like somewhere downstairs from the hotel. And it was like, yeah,
chips.
Pretty much chips. Yeah. And Sam ate a lot of steak.
Oh, okay. Which,
yeah.
He's bulking. It's bulking season, guys.
Yeah.
I feel like there is only so much steak you can eat in a short space of time, though. Do you know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
Or do you need to break that up with chips?
Yeah, yeah. That's alternate.
Yeah.
Meat sweats. Dreamy.
Well, before our food gets too cold, should we crack open some wine and eat some food?
Yes.
Excellent. I had a bit of a fever dream where I decided that this is like I wanted to cook a few weeks ago. And I decided that you were the lucky lady who was going to receive my strange experiment. So we've got beef bourguignon birria tacos. So birria tacos are like slow cooked beef in like a really saucy sauce that you put inside a corn tortilla with cheese. And you kind of cook them like quesadillas.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the broth that you cooked the meat in to dunk the tacos in.
Wow.
So I decided to do that, but with kind of French flavors. So there's like bacon, beef, loads of red wine, rosemary, onions, all cooked down really slowly for hours and hours and hours. And then I've taken the beef out of that liquid and shredded it down, put it inside tacos with Gruyere.
Oh my god,
that's the cheese that's going with it today.
I'm so excited.
I know you were out last night, so maybe like
cheesy
tacos is ideal.
I'm not actually eating any breakfast either, so this is so perfect. Thank
excellent.
You.
Excellent.
You're saving me.
So I came up with that first, then Hannah did the wine afterwards.
Yeah, so I thought obviously like beef, red wine, no brainer, but then I was like, to be honest, I've been drinking quite a lot lately and I kind of want to scale it back a little bit. So I went with a sparkling red, Casa Belfi, made in the Col Fondo style. So Italian sparkling wine, still with all the sediment and all the yeast at the bottom. So it's like nice and natural. This is what is it, 100% Raboso Piave is the name of the grape. Really, really delicious wine. It is one, whenever I'm hired to kind of do events or like openings, I always have this as the entry wine because everyone's still like, people still don't know that red sparkling wine is a thing. And it's always so nice to educate people. And then they go, oh my God, it's amazing. And hopefully we'll all go, oh my God, it's amazing. So I'll crack that open. Who's first to dunk?
I think Yasmin's first to dunk.
I'm going.
You get guest privileges to be first to dunk. I'm gonna move it towards you. These I just realised so you're wearing good. Cream trousers. Shall I get you something to cover them with?
I am that person. I feel like I've got this as it's dark up top, so
you're that's good. Fine.
This
you're
looks
covered.
So nice. You're I was covered. Listening to the other one where you guys talk about whether people hate the food noises or not. On the thing. How do you feel about it?
I like it.
Do you?
I like food. I think eating appreciatively noises is nice.
Oh. There we go. There's
appreciative
food noises.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Oh, I'm so glad. This is quite prime hangover food. It's like I knew you were coming and you needed some sustenance. Mm. The red sparkling wine thing I find really interesting, or just like light reds in general. I feel like a lot of people say they hate red wine, but they're just thinking about your classic old school, really beefy reds that are really high tannins and high alcohol, really heavy. And really light reds are quite a different ball game entirely.
Quickly. Cheers. Thank you so much for coming. Cheers.
Cheers.
It's always a bit awkward. Like, we were talking about just before we came on air that Yaz just completed her WSET level one. Congratulations.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. This is, can I just say, what a perfect Monday.
A grey Monday, come sit around and drink some
You
wine.
Know what I mean?
Eat like, some tacos.
This is really good.
It is so delicious. Because, you were working or kind of, it was at a wine bar or a wine shop that you were kind of doing.
It was like a wine bar and
in.
Wine shop. And I just thought while I was there, one would be good to know a bit more about it as I'm selling it. Yeah. But like, it was really, really interesting. And it was like, I just wanted to, you guys should get involved in that. It's really good. I just wanted to learn a bit more about it. And so they put me through my level one and I passed. I was really nervous about it. I haven't done like an exam like in so long. So it's like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, am I going to actually do it?
But it's a bit GCSE science.
It is because it's multiple choice, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember when I did it being really like, it was the first time I'd done anything like it for about 10 years before. Mm-hmm. It is fun though. I love a multiple choice exam.
And then when you get onto, that's like SATs. And then when you get onto GCSE, it's like short written answers, long written answers. Yeah.
Are there any short written answers in WST? I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Is it in
level three?
In level three, I've only got a level two. Mm-hmm.
Level three.
I've not got that far yet.
And then you've got the tasting exam.
Ah, yes, of course. That'll be us one day, Yaz. That'll be us one day.
Well, one day, we'll get there.
We'll get up there. We'll get up there.
But the one above level three is a diploma. And that is so expensive. I think I've complained about the diploma on here before, but I'm going to do it again. This is a anti-diploma podcast. All of my friends that have done it, namely Oliver and Charlie, who are two of my closest guy friends, but they were just no fun when they were doing the diploma. I'd be like, do you want to come get a beer? Like, can't, I'm studying for the diploma. Actual A-levels. And it was so expensive and like the only...
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's like $2,000 for per term. So unless your company's putting you through it, you can't really do it. You can't really validate doing it for yourself. And then if your company's putting you through it, you're like, well, obviously I have to at least pass.
Yeah.
The pressure is on.
The pressure is on.
Would you ever do any higher ones?
Yeah, I'm really interested in doing it. I don't know. It'd be quite nice to know a bit more about it. I feel like I drink so much wine. I can only benefit from it, you know?
Yeah. More about it during lockdown because they were drinking more and it was kind of like a way to like validate to themselves like, oh well, I'm drinking more because I'm learning.
So you've spent a lot of time living in Nottingham over the last few years. What are your favorite places to get nice wine, get nice food in Nottingham? Because I feel like that scene is coming up a bit now.
It is. Do you know what actually I really really like is my friends at Mim, this shop on Broad Street. He does like some pop-up like food markets and stuff like that. And I've been really enjoying them because I love choice. So I like the fact, you know, you can go to the one. There's a really good Italian called Sexy Mama Loves Spaghetti.
I've never been there before, but I've heard such good things about it.
There's literally about six tables in there.
Yeah.
And it's really, I mean, every time I've tried to book, like sometimes I'm just like, cool. And they're just like, I'm like, oh, I like to book. They're like, okay, 1 second. And then just disappear.
And I'm like, just hang up.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, I'll put down the phone then. Like, is that, you know what I mean? But if you can, it's really good. Get really nice wine in there. I also like, I think it's Bar Iberico, but a tapas place, but it's the new one, not the old one.
Okay.
The old one.
Okay.
Just saying, I'm not so fond of the old one. Okay. But the new one's like really, really nice. Yeah. Now, what else is there?
Kushiyar is the one that everyone raves about.
Oh my God. That is so good.
Yeah.
I literally forgot about that one. That is a really, really good mention. Great. They do this prawn toast, which is like nothing I've ever had before.
I've still never made it because I was about to go one time, then had to. My boys from Nottingham, so I spent a lot of time up there as well. And we were trying to go to Kushiyar, and then I had to leave and come home because there was some emergency. And since then, The Guardian has reviewed it, and now you can never get a table.
You can't get a table there.
Who reviewed it?
Stressing. I think Jay Rayner reviewed it in The Observer.
So we'll like go back into
it. I liked his podcast a lot.
I really enjoyed Jay Rayner's podcast.
Yeah, I did too.
I thought it was a goodie. Who did he have on that I really enjoy?
Richard E. Grant, twice.
Have we talked about my Richard E. Grant dream on the podcast before?
No, but I'm saying no. You're not always here, has been.
I mean, Richard E. Grant, if you're listening, hi. I had a dream where I was living here and Richard E. Grant moved in downstairs. But when I walked out, it was like, you know, there's like Moroccan houses where there's like one level up and one level up and it's kind of like a square.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
Like, what's it called? It's not like not a medina.
A riad,
yes. And he was downstairs in the riad and he sent me a text like, come over. And mm-mm. I knew that I was going to sleep with him. And I did it. And I didn't like,
was it good in the dream?
I woke up. I always wake up right before I'm about to do the deed. But like, I remember thinking in my head like, oh my God, I'm about to cheat on my partner who I love very much.
With Richard E. Grant.
But I was also like,
is he your pass, Richard E. Grant?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't necessarily have, like, I like his films.
Who would be your pass?
I've got a few kind of tangentially that I would consider. Yeah, just
Sophie, you've spoken about, well.
Adrian Brody.
Adrian Brody.
I'm out there okay. As one of my passes.
Sophie.
Timothée Chalamet.
Sophie has like this thing where we've kind of like discussed before where I think a lot of people have it. You have these certain celebrities that you're like, if we meet, then they will fall in love with me.
I know. I love the way it's like, that's my pass, as though like suddenly that's the only thing stopping us.
Yeah.
Like,
the only thing is that I've never met you.
Yeah. Once we do meet, yeah. Cool. I mean, they're only human.
Totally. Who would yours be? Your one celebrity person who you would.
I've definitely got more than one.
Oh, yeah.
But.
Top three.
Kano.
Yes, great shit.
I love him. I always feel like, and I just like have a special affinity with him from the same, born and bred in the same place in London. East End Manor Park, that's where I was born up. And then, so he's always mine. And I sort of feel like that, you know, maybe it's just not happened because he hasn't met me. But obviously, when
if
we
you
do,
met,
yeah.
Then, yeah.
He's
so
a
that's
good
one.
He's a fucking good one.
Oh, those eyes. Like, I just can't. Also, I was very impressed with his acting skills. Amazing lyricist, yeah.
He's so good in Top Boy. Oh, he's so good.
I was not expecting that. Like,
he's a really, like, emotionally deep character.
Yeah, he is. Sully. And, like, it was layered. Like, it was a complex character. He did well with that.
But I think that I think usually, like, when you get directors or writers in, like, a show, then they're usually quite good. I think it's because he's a writer.
I think so, maybe, yeah.
I think because, like, you've got, like, you're able to kind of, like, get in outside other people's brains and, like, write layered, like, pieces of work.
He, like, really gets the meaning of words and all the different meanings of
words. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Words.
All the words.
Okay, so who's your other two?
Oh, gosh, so much choice. So little time.
Obviously, everyone wants to sleep with me, so.
Yeah, obviously, like, I just... Kano, I'm trying to think now. Who's my other one? We'll just leave it there for
we'll
now. I can't sleep with them all at once, so, you know,
yeah,
one at
true.
A time.
Another day. Another day.
You don't want to make him jealous. He might be listening and be like, well, I was going to call you, but then you just, like, mention
I
someone else.
I would die if Kano was listening to us. I'd be mortified.
I highly doubt he is, but shout out Kano.
Apparently he's involved with Birch Selsdon, the one that they've given me membership to for 6 months. And he's like there. Alone.
This is it. This is the opportunity. So we're going to have to go there.
I'm allowed in three guests at a time. You guys come down with me. We'll lounge by the pool and we'll wait.
Is this how it's going to last?
This is how it's going to last.
Listener, my hand is
in our matching trainers.
Head, I'm kicking out. Yeah, trainers by the pool.
We're going to lounge like Barbies. Oh, by the pool. Yeah, okay, that sounds like a good plan. I haven't been to any of the birches.
No, I haven't. How do you feel about members type things, girls?
Flags,
how do you feel
generally.
About it? Yeah. I just cancelled my membership to Soho House. Sorry, Soho House. You were very good to me. It's Soho House, if you're listening, really sorry about this. But yeah, it was just too much to warrant spending on somewhere that I paid to get in there. And then once I was in, they would kind of act like they didn't want me to be there, which is like a really weird vibe. I waited for like, I was told that the membership application process was like 2 years. I got in. I think it's because I was doing events for them beforehand, to be fair. I got in like 2 months. I was like, okay. My friend Marcus, who does Picnic, shout out Marcus. You stop shouting people out and just keep going.
I love
with the
it.
Podcast.
I actually love it though.
It's kind of almost like
I think
tick.
It's really nice. Shout out, Kano.
Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Shout out, Kano, Adrian Brody, all the lads.
Shout out, Richard Eagle.
We know you're all listening, but Marcus might be listening, so shout out Marcus. He asked me if I could be his reference for the application, because you have to provide like 2 references of people that's already members. And I was like, yeah, sure, go for it. Got accepted like a month later, went once, left and instantly cancelled his membership. He was like, no.
Really?
Dead.
Part of the problem with a members club is the crowd that it generally attracts. Mm. Every time I've been for a meeting in Soho House, I have felt very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like the people around me are not my people. And so I'm a member at Birch now, and it seems like it's a bit more like a hotel with a co-working space
and an outdoor
pool. And I've got like a 6-month membership.
Oh, nice. So there's one north and one south.
There's one south. It's quite near my house. It's like out of town, out of the way, in the countryside. They do a lot of like...
That's nice. I didn't realise it was in the countryside.
And they got like a kitchen garden. They grow all their veg on the land.
Very American having a club in the countryside.
Yeah, I was actually talking to Cam about this yesterday. The American concept of a country club is where only evil people in fiction hang out. There's never nice shit that goes down
it's
the country
so
club.
It's
TV.
So true.
Like, I don't know. Maybe they're lovely places, but I suspect they're not.
They're always in golf carts.
They're always in golf carts and shit's always going down. Like even in, you know, High School Musical 2, shit's going down.
They never wear their jumpers, they tie them around their necks.
They do. Why is it so warm down there?
I don't know.
Hellish.
It's different weather. I recently became a member of Quo Vadis.
Did you?
Which is much cheaper. It's like 30 quid a month.
I don't even know what that is.
That's a nice one to touch.
It's a restaurant, but they've also got, so it's like Karl Marx's old gaff. And it's on Dean Street, so it's opposite that Soho House there, and it's £30 a month.
I used to work in the kitchen there. The food is
really
wicked.
We should go for a dinner.
Nice cocktails.
Yeah, I would like that. That'd be nice.
Get a dinner booked in, get loads of oysters, loads of nice cocktails.
Oh my gosh, exactly.
I love it. Easy.
I'm down.
But yeah, it's really, really nice. And they do like £5 martinis or something crazy for like an hour every day.
What?
And they do like free gym classes online. Like it
what?
Just seems,
this place is perfect.
Yeah, exactly. It's really
That's
good.
Really nice, actually.
It's
that
a bit
feels
more chic.
A bit more like...
The only time that I ever went, I went with my friend from university. I got a trial membership one time and I took my friend Miles, who was down visiting for me for my birthday for the week. I took him to Quo Vadis and he was like, God, this is amazing. Like he was just like so impressed that he was a members club. It's like, wow, this is just your life. It's crazy. Huh? Yeah. I was like, yeah, crazy. And he went to go and try and find the toilet, walked up for a bit and got a bit lost. And I was kind of sat in the smoking area, like chatting to people. And he came down and his face was just like all crestfallen. He was like, Gollum's upstairs. What do you mean Gollum? He was like Andy Serkis, he's upstairs. I was like, it was amazing.
There's a lot of like quite cool celebs who hang out there.
Yeah,
it's less like young influencers trying to be cool.
Okay.
And more people who are already actually cool.
Okay.
And quite low key.
Yeah,
I've graduated to being cool.
I actually fed Jay Rayner there a few times. Also Nigella.
Oh. Did you?
Nigella.
Did you meet her?
No, the head chef asked for one to come up and meet her, and I was like, no. I cannot. I'm not ready.
You've seen her at that it's latest. She did a panel with Jonathan Nunn and Rebecca May Johnson
about sandwiches.
Really?
And she looked incredible. She always looks.
I love Nigella.
She doesn't age. She's like 63 now.
No, she's not.
She is.
And she looks phenomenal.
She's 63.
Actually, yeah. I thought she was much younger than that. I didn't have no idea. Shout out Nigella.
Yeah, shout out Nigella.
Big up yourself.
Every damn day.
big up Nigella.
Yasmin, what are the best things that you have eaten this week? This is something that we always ask each other on the podcast.
Okay.
Are there any food highlights of the last week?
Highlights. What have we been doing? Where have we been this week? Oh, so actually, what? Last week,
yeah, in any time in the last week.
In the last 7 days. Okay, yeah. So I was in Portugal and I had some sardines. It's sardine season there and it was really fresh and I just had it with bread and some salad. That was so good. I had some really nice wine. I just sat there and really enjoyed that. That was what I actually have eaten quite a lot of nice things.
Yeah.
In Portugal, generally on tour in loads of lovely places, I'm sure that's a...
Yeah, I was loving it. I ate so much fish while I was there. But that sardines with the bread, that a glass of vino verde, and then the salad, that was gorgeous. A good one. That was a good one.
Done. Whereabouts were you in Portugal?
Matosinhos. So it's just like outside of Porto, a little bit outside of Porto on the coast. So that was really nice. I stayed at my friend Stella's. Shout out Stella. And she made this like kind of like a bean like casserole thing. And I came home from a show and she was like, I've left you dinner, which is like, what a love language. That's like, okay. She had that and some rice. And then she also made like chicken, and it was just all very, very good, and it was unexpected. So you know when you're thinking like probably going to get in and like maybe have a slice of toast, which I'm actually down with. I love a late night toast.
Toast for dinner.
Yeah, toast for dinner. Sometimes it's just what it is.
Yeah.
But those are the two best things I've eaten this week. The meal from Stella, cooked with love, and the sardines.
Mm. Good choices.
Yeah, it actually...
There's something really specific about like fresh grilled fish on holiday
so good.
Would never taste anywhere near the same if you ate it in your house or even in a restaurant in London. It's so situationally dependent.
Yeah.
That those little oily fish and that maybe there's like a little bit of parsley on top.
Yeah.
Or maybe not even.
Yeah.
I had a similar thing when I went to Athens a couple of months ago where we went to this like little bolt hole restaurant where you go down some steps and there's no menu. They just like point at pots in the kitchen. And you go, yeah, I'll have some of that and some of that. And had like the best sardines ever in there.
I love that. That's my favourite thing to do on holiday, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, just walk around. Walk around, eat.
Yeah.
If you had to pick one favourite holiday destination to eat in, where would it be?
Oh, Han. Okay, that's... I'm trying to think because I would say... Like, actually, I was eating quite well in New York. Lots of good food there, but it was like also kind of rushed. So I'd probably say Italy because I've spent a lot of time there. Like a couple of years ago, we just did like gig after gig after gig in Italy.
You got a big Italian fan base.
Well, at that time, that's when that EP come out. They were just loving it and I was like so here for it. I think we played like 9 shows or something like that.
Oh my God, okay.
But, so every time we went and they're just like, when you do shows in Europe, they look after you so well. When you do a show in England, they're like, do you want a burger? Well, that's all we got. All right, bye. But then they always make sure you want to have dinner and all that. And I just ate really well there.
The hospitality is different.
It was so different. Oh. Like, yeah. So I'd say Italy.
Okay.
Good choice.
That was beautiful.
Good choice.
Yeah.
So much bullshit on our agenda. Yeah, okay. Well,
we have constant bullshit on our agenda.
What's she done now?
Doja Cat has been on some bullshit this week. And as a fellow musician who I'm sure also has tons of adoring fans online... I'd love to hear your thoughts. What's she been saying?
Just washing up. She's going. At this point, I'm like,
God, Doja, just stop it. We love your music. Stop being such a dick. She's first off got a boyfriend who's a fairly questionable dude.
Uh-huh. Who's her boyfriend?
Steam streamer. So back when Steam was a thing, he would stream and he basically like manipulated and coerced like lots of young women who are on his streams. So he did an apology, like admitting to it. But he's still kind of like pretty shady. And now he's dating Doja Cat.
What?
But she's always like with these alt-right dudes. It's really strange.
That's actually fucked. I didn't see her. That's not...
Yeah.
It's not, you know...
I think there's clearly quite a lot of like internal hatred stuff going on.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem capable of not going out with alt-right dudes.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand how that happens.
Did anyone
mention it, she blocks them on Twitter. She just
what?
Did you not hear about the chat room thing?
No,
you sound surprised. Okay, so maybe about like 3 years ago when she was at like the height of her fame or just coming up with Say So coming out. She, like, a dodgy past of like her hanging out in like alt-right chat rooms and basically like,
what, don't you, I feel like, yeah. Have I missed this? No.
And she was like fetishizing herself, like saying like some really dodge shit and also kind of like something like edgelord, dark humor, internet type of shit. And like just with like all these kind of like random kind of like neck beard, like 17-year-old white boys from like middle America. Really,
oh,
odd.
We're not here for it.
And this is like when she was like relatively famous. It was so strange.
Oh, I'm so shocked. I honestly have no...
So mad.
I'm out. Like,
yeah.
I do like her music, but I'm out with that shit. Like, miss me. Yeah,
yeah. Like, all of her fans are like... To be fair, can you imagine if, like, someone like, I don't know, Ariana Grande did this, and we're like, no, be nice to her. Like, how Doja Cat fans are like, fuck you, girl.
Yeah, like, you're
like, they're all, like, calling her out, and she hates
but
her.
She's,
so, yeah.
But she's being really mean to them as well. I don't know, there was a thing recently where they, like, call themselves kittens, Doja Cat kittens.
And she is fucking weird.
She is fucking weird. I think she's hilarious, okay. But I also think she is weird. So they all call themselves kittens, but she said, my fans don't name themselves shit. If you call yourself a kitten or fucking kittens, that means you need to get off your phone and get a job and help your parents with the house. And separately, in the same day, someone tweeted her being like, why don't you ever tell us that you love us? And she was like, I don't fucking love you. I don't even know you.
Oh, my God. I mean...
She's not wrong.
She's not wrong, but that's really out. Like, yeah,
I feel like your fans are surely your lifeblood 100%. When you're a musician. And just to be like... obviously you don't love them like your family, but surely you have a degree of, I don't know, respect.
Yeah, like warmth
for warmth,
like appreciation.
Them. She's probably fucking around, but I don't know. What do you think about it?
I'm just like, I mean, I'm not going to be out here saying fuck my fans. I can't believe them like that. You know what I mean? Yeah,
even as a joke, no way.
Even as a joke, no. I mean, I think she's just like that kind of character where she's just pushing buttons, and I feel like she's quite outrageous. And then people love that she's outrageous. And also, when you are outrageous, people can't stop listening to you. Like, it's just the world, like, in the world of internet land, like, if you're outrageous, it just attracts a lot of attention. Yeah. I'm not saying she's doing it for that, but I just feel like she's that. But I feel really appreciative of my fans. Yeah. That feels weird to say, I don't think I've ever said
you've
that.
Got
no,
so many
you've got
fans.
So many fans.
That's so weird.
I'm literally right here, yes.
Yeah, I've been fangirling you for years.
I really appreciate it. And I think that there's like, it's going to sound so soppy now, but I think there's like, it just feels like super connected. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like you've got this thing in common, like the music. And I just think that's cute. I'm not going to be... out here, same thing. But maybe I need to come up with a name for like people that like my music.
What would you call the Yasmin Lacey fandom?
I would call them late night people. My late night people. Does that work? But that is that, it's a bit dead, that one, is it?
No, I like it. Cute. I think that's cooler than the kittens.
Because then everyone's like...
The kittens is
maybe,
a bit... maybe
she's just like, oh, that's really lame. I don't want you to be called kittens.
Yeah.
Come up with a better name and then come back to me.
Maybe she just should have just said that. But I do think it's interesting that maybe she's chipping away at, and I think that me and you have talked about this on the podcast before, and maybe it's because we have a much more like... public facing, well, maybe me a bit more because of like do the wine clubs, but you increasingly so with like coming face to face people at supper clubs because you see people like all the time, and because they buy a ticket, they're like, I'm sure you must get this after shows because people buy a ticket, they're like, well, like you're my friend now and I've given you money. Yeah. So they kind of feel like ownership.
Yeah,
you owe me. I gave you money. Like now you've got to listen to me. No, and obviously like it's incredibly appreciative, and like as you say, it's brilliant that you've all got something in common and that's how you've come together. But maybe she's just kind of like hitting back at the ownership that people feel over her image.
I do think it's one wild thing though, is like sometimes after gigs, like just on that to flip it, I do think that people do feel like they can just say anything to you. Do you get what I mean? I think especially as women in the industry as well, you can't say something like, you know, my favourite one is the line when people is always like older men, like always have something. Be like, you know what you should do? It's that, bro, like, can you actually back up? Like,
that's so true.
I was
so
like, you know what you should do? Is you need off. Like, you know what you should do? You know what you need to do? It's like, oh my, more so in the beginning, because I was, okay, I'm up here, probably better do something. Like, I don't know, it's just still like overwhelming.
You kind of maybe attract people saying, like, you see, yeah, you see masks is what you need to do.
Yeah, yeah, like, I need the help. Like, yeah. Maybe I did need the help, but I just didn't want it from them.
Well, don't want it from them, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, now it's less. But I do think that people feel like they can tell you something. And also there's the whole thing of, like, after gigs and stuff like that, I mean, I've usually got a lot of energy for it, but you're absolutely exhausted and you feel like, even at the airport, when I was going to Portugal and I was in the queue, and I could see this woman staring at me, and I'm a bit paranoid. So I was like, what's going on here? And then she'd like wrote on my thing, say, like, I just seen you at the airport. You feel quite exposed. Do you get what I mean? Because you're like, rah, like, I'm just like out here. Like, so I think people just feel like they can say or do, you know, things or like approach you.
And it feels quite claustrophobic. I remember being at a winery once and I was having lunch with my friends, and it was after we just shot something, and I got a notification on my phone and someone mentioned me in their Instagram stories and they'd taken a photo of me like from across the way. I was like, oh yeah, spotted Hannah Crosby. I was like,
I'm sorry, but that's giving like really shady pervy energy. Like, can you not?
I want to wear your skin.
It's what you tapped into, the like stage fright there. Is that something that you feel like you've overcome now? Is it something that you still feel like comes in waves and you have to continuously work on?
Not going to lie, I shit myself every time I go up there.
Really?
Like, but you know what? It's got it. Yeah, because I care. So there's that. But also it is, I don't know what it is. I'm just like, oh my God. Oh my God. You know, it's a lot. I think that it's changed like before I couldn't make, honestly, my first gigs were like, my friends used to be like, oh, you want to do this? It's kind of awkward to watch. Do you know what I mean? It was so fucking awkward. I couldn't look up at anyone. And even when I had my first ever gig, was in this little place called Alley Cafe. It doesn't exist anymore in Nottingham. And it was so uncomfortable. I just thought, this was horrible. Like, I'm never going to do this again. And people were saying it's good, but I can't tell because that felt so like...
Did not feel comfortable.
It did not feel comfortable. And my rule was like, okay, I'm never going to put myself in that position again. Someone asks me, I'll take it as a sign to do it. And I've literally just been like that for the last 7 years, really. Yeah. But like, yeah, I've got much better at it because also I really enjoy it. And I've done it enough to that. Like, I used to go up there and think, what if no sound comes out? Or what if I forget all the words? But I've done it enough times now to know that that's not going to happen. And I've got a really sick band. So it's just like, we're just catching jokes. And you sort of feel really supported because you're like, well, if anything happens, like Sam will do something or Sarah will do something, you know what I mean?
So you're vibing off the other people on the stage.
Yeah, but I still get nervous all the time. I was nervous coming here.
Oh, stop.
Oh my God. But then as soon as I got here, I was like, oh, this is lovely.
This is a very relaxed environment.
It is a very relaxed. And it smells really nice in here, everybody. You can't obviously smell this through hearing this, but it smells really nice in here.
And there's very nice interiors in this room.
Yes. It is really nice in here. Really nice.
I love the table. I love the rug. I love the candles being lit. I always feel very cozy and held.
Yeah, it really is that vibe.
It's got like a proper living room vibe, I think.
So, the 1975, Matty Healy, the front man of the band, is obviously quite a contentious figure. He's someone that the fandom really loves, but in the world, don't love him. He said some very questionable stuff on podcasts in relation to like stereotypes of Asian people, putting on an accent and some outwardly incredibly dodgy shit. But they've gone and played this festival in Malaysia called the Good Times Festival, Good Life Festival.
Good vibes, ironic.
Good vibes festival. where clearly in Malaysia they've got, you know, it's quite a conservative country and they've got really strict rules on homosexuality in Malaysia. The band have gone to Malaysia and he stood on at the front of the stage, this massive crowd of people, and gone, I'm actually really fucked off and I don't want to sing any songs because I'm really pissed off at your country's politics. And then he's snogged another member of the band, who was also a man, at the front of the stage for like 2 minutes. Which, you know...
I thought it was just like a peck.
No, they were properly snogging.
Okay.
Wow. And being political, making political statements, cool, good, to speak out about these things. But you did knowingly go to that place knowing those are the policies.
You still got the bag. Like, you still took the gig, didn't you?
You took the bag.
Went there for the vibes as well, like got flown out and whatever and whatnot. Yeah.
And there's a lot of activists online saying that, particularly activists like within the Malaysian LGBTQ+ community, saying that there was like no consultation with anyone.
Mm.
like it would have been a better thing to do if there was some kind of inclusion for people in the community who could have advised you.
I feel like as well, if you've got that kind of like, so I actually don't know that band, is that really bad?
I actually love that you don't. I'm really embarrassed when you said it. I was like, fucking hell, should I say I don't know this or whatever. I would say quite impressive.
You've managed to dodge them.
Me and Hannah are both secret closeted fans of their music.
Okay.
Matty Healy is a person, questionable. He's undeniable.
Yeah. Did you see the Rina Sawayama gig at Glastonbury?
She called him out very publicly.
She called him out very publicly, which is really badass.
I feel like, you know, you can, if you've got that kind of level of status and you want to make a point, you can. It's kind of, is he actually gay or not?
No.
No.
See,
not outwardly.
He goes
out with lots of women.
But in his lyrics, he's like, oh, am I gay? Oh, am I straight? Oh, it's like,
okay. Yeah. I just feel like, you know if you've got the time and the like energy to do that, you could probably help some people in that community.
Totally.
In a much more like long-term way, like in a statement. I think actually sometimes I'm just like, but like, I think a statement is cool, but I'm not sure what change that would make if that's.
Don't play the festival and say, I was asked to play this gig.
And then make the statement off the back of this.
Or
donate your entire fee to some of those causes.
Do you know what they've done as well in retaliation to what happened? The government has shut down the entire festival.
I was going to say that the repercussions of that. Yeah.
It's just down the drain. It's so shit.
Yeah. He loves doing kind of like things on stage that are like, so you kind of get it's more for like, oh, Matty Healy is just like,
he's slightly performative.
It was 100% performative because he's trying to grapple back some kind of like, no, I actually do care about like the like marginalized communities that love my music. But despite saying some really dodgy things, he's kind of clawing it back through doing it. That's the kind of sense that I get.
Yeah, I think he's trying to like improve his reputation by doing something radical, but he doesn't realize it's
a self-centered kind of way.
Yeah, self-centered, and look at the repercussions now. Now no one's fucking enjoying themselves at the festivals, are they? Yeah. Like that's the thing. Like it's
I'll show you this guy's face. You'd be like, ooh, him.
The internet hates him.
Really?
Well, they're kind of split.
Where do I live? And like, what have I been doing that I don't know?
Do you spend any time on
Taylor
TikTok?
Swift recently? This guy.
Oh, this guy.
Yeah.
This face.
You've seen him.
I've seen him.
Well, no, like festivals. I don't know what size that festival is. I imagine fairly chunky. They're full time jobs for people, and like a lot of people putting on a festival.
It's big enough to have the 1975. Then,
yeah.
Gotcha, I just love how it's called Good Vibes Festival, but they're like, fuck the games.
Well, who are ultimate good vibes.
Yeah. So. It was like, no gays allowed. Yeah, and you want good vibes. And what's going on? But yeah, no, absolutely.
No, I'm not so sure about that protest. I don't know what like it's actually done. Well, it's just sad that the festival was cancelled, though.
Yeah, totally. I don't think it landed anywhere near where they thought it was going to land.
Yeah.
Just performative.
Just a bit awkward.
And kind of like white saviorism.
Yeah, babe, say it like
there's
it
a
is.
Lot of, there's a lot of stuff
it's
in
it's giving white savior for real. I was like, should I say that? But yeah, basically.
It totally is.
It's giving white savior for real. And then now everyone's not got a fucking job and you're going back home and you got paid.
Yeah, like, just like,
I hope you feel great.
Like, you may not be able to come to Malaysia on your holidays anymore.
One thing that no one talks about, I can't remember if I've mentioned on the podcast before, but like one thing that I think is like really, really shitty of him, but no one's really talked about it because I think it's sort of like hidden. You know how on like Apple Music, if you click on the album and then it's kind of got like the little bio that like either Zane Lowe or someone Apple Music has written about. He did it for the latest album, and there is a song, and there is a song on the album. For each of the songs, like he's written like a little paragraph of like what inspired the song. And he talks about dating Twigs. Yeah, he dated FKA Twigs for like 2 years.
Oh, that's where I've seen his face.
Yeah, yeah, it's just like, how? But that's besides the point.
I can't imagine how she would have put up.
How do these men get like these, like how? Like doesn't
he... I don't know.
I mean, she'll go out with Shia LaBeouf as well, so.
Maybe strange taste.
Yeah, Twigs needs to shake up her taste.
Come on, Twigs.
Come on, get it together, man.
Shout out, Twigs. Shake up her taste.
Shout out, Twigs, if you're listening.
Shout out, Twigs. Big up yourself.
Big up. But... for one of the songs he wrote, said like, yeah, I wrote this song and it was inspired by a black woman that I was living with, and it was so amazing to see all the different shampoos.
I'm sorry, but drop me out. Like, this is why I haven't heard about this stuff, because I'm like, that's not like on my album and I'm not here for it.
But like, you can't find it. Like, no one's talking about it. Like, unless you go on the album and like, see, it's like, so there were so many different shampoos on the side of my bath, and she was
talking to me about, this is the real kicker.
She said she was talking to me about racial injustice, and I wasn't listening because I was just looking at her and thought how beautiful she was.
I'm sorry, this is everything, this is like,
no,
you can erase him from your brain after this.
Yeah, we can put him in the bin.
We're gonna do like a Men in Black kind of, like,
this is the category of things we put in the bin. He's in the bin,
like, so in the bin,
get in the fucking bin.
Yeah, and then Taylor Swift dated him after all of this shit happened. Then Taylor Swift dated him and everyone's like, why?
I mean,
yeah, I think they probably broke up because her fandom were so like, what are you doing?
So he says, I want to try a song about being in love. At the time, I was in a relationship with a black girl who was so beautiful and I was in love with. And there were all these things that came up that you can only really learn from experience and living together. Our bathroom was so full of specific products for skincare, things you just can't get at Boots. So there's this line that goes, you show me your black girl thing, pretending that I know what it is, I wasn't listening. Which came from this moment when she was talking about something that I had no cultural understanding of. And all I was thinking was, I'm in love with you. And maybe I should have been focusing on what it was. But in that moment, I didn't care about anything political. I just loved her.
Listen, I just want to say, I already know sis is happy she's out. Like, yeah, what the fuck?
My God.
Who is this guy? Like, what the fuck?
What?
I'm in love with you.
Jesus Christ.
It's a really bad song.
Deeply problematic.
Yeah. I think it just comes from, as you say, like, such a place of privilege where you're just like, I don't care about any of that. I'm so in love with you.
And again, like, the way that his fans will receive that, like, he's some enlightened fucking Jedi.
Yeah.
And also, you're still, like, capitalizing off, instead of just fucking learning it and then applying that to your life moving forward, you're now like, and I'm not saying that people can't share their experiences, but it just... it doesn't scream sincere to me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
And also, it's like, it's still very, like, basic as a fact that it's like, I hate that, like, I'm glad everyone's catching up or trying to catch up or be aware of this stuff, but it's like, it's much more nuanced than it's just like, we can't get our hair products in Boots. And actually, now you can some of those.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's more nuanced than that. And I hate it being, like, redacted to just that small thing of, like, yeah she's so beautiful. It's like,
it's so exotic.
Yeah, he can get, like, in the bin.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's like, when I, in that moment, I was just in love. It's like, oh, shush, little woman, let me just, like, look at you. We're like, suck out. He's gone. He's in the bin. He's in the bin.
Amen.
Horrendous.
Oh my God, we didn't talk about something that I really wanted to talk about.
Is it
Barbie
movie?
Writing.
All right, sorry.
No.
Because everyone is talking about Barbie. Have you been?
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm fucking desperate to see it.
I really want to go and see it.
I really want to. I'm going to go with my mum and my sisters next
week.
That's
cute. That's cute.
What I actually wanted to talk about was Drake's book. So good.
LOL.
Have you seen any of this?
I've seen some of the pages. There was, like, on Instagram, DJ Khaled was reading out some of the bits of the book, which it was, like, it was like another layer of comedy. Like, I was just like...
As soon as you think you got to figure it out, it's like...
He comes, another one.
He comes, another one, yeah. Just the way he says things, it's just so strange. So it's like the headline for Heist and Abaiti's article is Drake's poetry book has 168 pages of corny Instagram captions. And it was co-written with a poet who has co-written some of his lyrics recently, but, like, if he's co-written lyrics recently, then, like... It's going to be paired with an album called Hard Feelings, Harder Dick.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, God, he's crossed the line there. I normally think the shit he says is quite funny. That makes y'all quite sick.
So, like, all the poetry looks like this. So it's like...
Yeah, it's like a...
Da-da-da.
Also, I really got what you meant by that. Yeah. Like, that was really good. It's so much. Like, I rate it.
There are two types of women in this world.
Oh, straight in.
Straight in. Straight in.
Right.
Women who like giving head and women who I don't like. Cold. I can't read the signs.
my eye just twitched.
Is Drake okay? Everybody,
no,
that
he's not. He's not. I can't read the signs, hun. I left my glasses at home.
Been there, babe. Been there. Possibly not when I'm driving, though.
Right, no, but it's quite literal. There's a fine line between, like, being a genius and, like, not. But it's like, he's just saying stuff. Like, he's literally just saying stuff, and he's the one putting it out there. So even though I don't think it's, like, particularly profound or whatever sometimes, like, he's literally, like, thought up. It's the confidence of it. And I honestly think sometimes that is half of being an artist, because this shit is rough. And to constantly put yourself in... That's what I was trying to say, yeah. Yes. Basically, sometimes I'm like, what does that even fucking mean? But then I'm also like, mate, live your life. Like, he's putting it out there. I'm not sure about some of those comments, but I'm just like, wow, if you give something out with enough chest, like, people are like, oh, okay. Oh,
yeah. Like, you're a Jedi, like you said.
Yeah.
Oh, my therapist told me I need to stop listening to what people tell me. But if I take her advice, wouldn't I be listening to what people tell me?
Oh, is he a philosopher?
Okay, and leave it here for now. But she's definitely going to buy this book.
I feel like he's written most of them on the toilet.
Toilet tweets.
I do. I feel like it's like that kind of like...
It's also like, it's like middle of the night toilet. It's not It's not even lucid thoughts. It's when you need a wee in the night and you're like, am I going to do it? Okay, yeah, no, I do actually need to go. And your brain is still in dream mode.
Yeah.
My brain feels like it's in dream mode when I read these.
That's probably one of the captions in there, actually. My brain feels like it's in dream mode.
There is one about dreams. I'll read this one. I'll read that one. You're not thugging. You're kidding. One-sided beef is not beef. It's chicken.
That doesn't make sense.
Think about it for a second, guys.
Drake is hilarious.
Shout out Drake.
We're listening.
Aubrey, you silly goose.
I was gonna say he loves awkward white women, because he just did the he wants to be on Chicken Shop Day, and he also just did the Really Very Good podcast. You know that girl who's in...
Yeah.
He just did that with her.
I saw that, and didn't he say to her, like, oh, shouldn't you be at home for your kid's birthday? Did you have seen this?
No, I haven't seen it. I only watched the first 10 minutes.
I think if we're talking about the same thing, I think it is. But then she did the thing, and he was like, isn't it your kid's birthday today? And you not being with your kid to be here, like, don't you think that's fucked up? I was like, wow.
So where's his kid?
That's what she says to him. And she was like,
occasionally to come to a basketball game. Where is he the rest of the time?
Like, she said to him, like, oh, where's your kid? And she was like, I know where my kid is. I'm like, at home. And like,
I'm sure
safe.
She knows where her kid is.
Yeah, I know. It's not like she left her at the bus stop on the way to the thing.
It's such misogynist bullshit to be mother, where's your child? I know it's different for me because I'm a dad.
And also,
and he's with his mum.
Exactly. And
where's
so I was
Adonis?
Thinking, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, if you're a mom, you also need to provide for your kid, and probably an interview with Drake is going to provide for you for quite a lot. So it might not be like, you know, I just hate that judgment of things. Like, maybe Drake can get in the bin a little bit as well. He can go in the recycling bin. I don't hate him as much as the other guy, but
yeah, he's in recycling pile.
Some of these are just great. My talents include a pen. Your talents include a bed. We're both skilled nonetheless.
That doesn't even rhyme.
It's like, it's more of like
pen
a half
and
rhyme.
Bed.
Pen and bed.
Try better.
I thought you were working with a poet, right? Like, what's going on here?
Final one. Your taste in men isn't exactly Michelin star.
Ooh, boom. Burn. Wow. Burn.
Boom.
Wild, Drake.
Wild.
Will you be getting a copy of that book, girls?
I might buy it as a joke for a Secret Santa present for someone one day in like
I
mean,
it's
5 years'
really
time.
When
everyone's forgotten about it. 5 years' time,
you probably pick it up in the charity shop.
I'll end up in the charity shop.
Wait for it to be in the Poundland bargain bucket, then we're good.
Shall we move on to questions?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
So Anonymous gets in touch. They're all anonymous at this point. It's like, you don't need to be anonymous about food advice. I mean, like, I respect it, though. Okay. Anonymous says, if you're going on a villa holiday and doing lots of cooking, what are your top things to feed people, and what should you bring with you from home?
Mm.
Okay. Loads of picky bits. Lunchtime's only picky bits. Breakfast, only pastries and fruit and yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
No one is cooking until the evening.
Well,
then
that's
evenings,
a good tip.
You have to rotate who does the cooking. It's not going to be one person the whole time. And you just want to do big things like big plates of tomatoey pasta and loads of big salads and tasty bread, or like an aubergine parmigiana, stuff that's easy to just make big batches of and not fuck about. If they got a barbecue, get loads of like fresh fish to whack on the barbecue, that kind of stuff. In terms of things to bring from home, lots of the time, a villa holiday to me implies that they're in Europe. I would say that the spice selection in European supermarkets is lacking most of the time.
Babe, that is such a good tip, you know. That's so true.
Because they got all the lovely fresh produce.
Your vegetables
and fruit are amazing. The fish is amazing. The meat's amazing. Yada, yada. They never have good spices. They've got like cumin, paprika. That's it.
It literally is it.
So if you want to cook anything that tastes of a bit more than just like, I also love like fresh fish that's cooked without much on it.
Yeah, same.
But if you want a bit more flavour and stuff, bring spices with you. Also, if you can get away with it, bring a knife with you. If you can, in your suitcase, and it's allowed, don't shove it
just
in
saying she's
luggage.
Not telling everyone to travel with a large knife. That's not what it is.
Leave your samurai sword back home.
No machetes on the plane, please. No machetes on the plane. She's not condoning that.
But if you can bring it in your check-in luggage, then bring some, because they are always wank Airbnb knives. So I started on my last holiday. The knife was so bad that I was just using the vegetable peeler for everything.
Really?
You can peel really thin, lovely slices of like onion on a vegetable peeler.
Good tip. Same. Also a good tip. Also a good tip.
What would you cook on a big group villa holiday?
I would go big pasta. I would go something, I mean, unless there's veggies, but I would go big salad, added bread for those people. You know what I mean? Because some people just like, they need like more.
They need the sustenance.
Big salad, big bread, pasta dish, or like some sort of like slow cooked meat kind of thing. Like all the things in the afternoon, leave it to the evening. Nothing that's going to be like lots of like, you want to do all of the things and then put it in and then leave it.
Because you want to be doing the sitting out and chilling on the terrace.
Yeah,
I'm going to
be,
like
exactly.
Like, you're not slaving away in there.
Exactly.
No way.
I think big pasta is good.
Big pasta is a good idea. Good try. Big
rice dish. I was literally about to say like a risotto or like
paella.
Do like a big or like anyway, but like a big rice dish. Salad, extra bread.
Delicious.
Yeah.
I like it.
What would you bring or cook?
I don't cook on holiday.
Never.
No, I never.
Eat out only.
I eat out or I starve myself.
Bougie princess.
I literally, I don't eat or
yes,
I like,
princess.
I am Bella Hadid. I don't like cooking when I'm on holiday. I don't think it's something I should have to do.
Sometimes, if it's like a slow holiday in your village, sometimes I quite like that. If they've got a barbecue and stuff, sometimes I don't mind it. But I hear you. Like you're on holiday, babes.
Also, I've never been on a group friends holiday. I don't have like I've never had like a massive group of friends. I'm very much like a floater friend. Like I have
individual
lots of friends like lots of different places.
Yeah.
We do have a villa holiday going.
Let's do it. Oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah, no, then we're good.
Shall we do one last one?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I'm starting to resent my best mate who I live with, and I don't know what to do. What were we talking about before we came on?
We were talking about this. I feel like I am.
Not that you resent your best mate, but it's difficult living with.
Shout out my best mate.
Living with friends can be really hard.
I think that we were talking about this earlier, and I've lived with lots of friends. Right now, I wouldn't live with any of my closest friends. I think that, like, being really intentional with your friendships, especially, you know, I've got friends that I've had for 20 years. And it's like, for that to sustain a relationship that long, there needs to be some space, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't do it now at this stage of my life. And
it's like a romantic relationship.
It's super intimate. Like, you're in your house. Also, your best mate sometimes, like, you know, knows so much about you. Tips, I think. Is that what they were asking for, tips or no?
What do I do? I'm beginning to resent.
Okay, you should do is move the fuck out.
Yeah.
It has no like negative judgment on your friendship if you can't live with the person.
Absolutely. And I think that how people socialise and what you need when you're on your own time is super different. But if you can't move out, I would suggest like having days where there's like, or agreeing the way you both need the house to be run. Because that's the main thing. It's like, I love some friends, but I really like things to be tidy and clean, and it spins the way I feel out if it's not.
Yeah.
So living with a friend, that could be like a real point of contention. Yeah. I think you can make, this is what I need for this to be like amicable and like blissful. And then maybe just put in some time where it's like, this is the time in the week where I like really want to sit with you and have a glass of wine. Other than that, like, just please, can we just like, you know?
It's totally allowed to be like, I just want to sit and be a vegetable. Yeah. On a Tuesday night, I actually want to chat. I want to have my shower, get everyone wet, have my shower, sit on the sofa with a bowl of food and sit quietly and scroll my phone. And I don't want to feel guilty about it. Yeah. So just to let you know, that's like where I'm at with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't
yeah.
be offended if, yeah. I don't, if I'm a bit short. It's just because I'm in my quiet zone.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to say that to your close friends.
You need you need a certain type of friend to do that. Because you can still have close friends, but they're like super chaotic. And like sometimes like also if you have like a friend, like not necessarily people that I've lived with, but friends that are kind of like, and like, it reminds me of like how I was when I was like working an internship, didn't have much money, kind of took the piss a little tiny bit, like kind of quite chaotic. And you don't intend to be that way.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's also important to have a friend that's at a similar life stage to you.
Otherwise, they're just not going to get it. Like at the moment, like I think that I could live with another musician, you know, that would understand. Like sometimes I'm going to like leave at this time and leave at that time, and like
sometimes I won't be there for a few weeks at a time.
Yeah, and then like make the most of the house when I'm not there, and then when I do, like we're cohabiting again, you know, like kind of thing. But it's, I think someone at the same stage in their life as you is like really.
Totally.
Important. And maybe someone like, I'm quite sensitive, so maybe someone that's like, you know, if you're living with someone, you need to like, this is how we need to do the life to like make this thing. I'm quite sensitive, so I don't always respond well with things like that.
No, but it's, you know, need. It's true. Like
to be able to say things like that, having a little bit of distance, and it's not someone who's like, you know, picked you up off the floor like millions of times over the years. And if it's like someone you don't know, it's easier to say, look, I bought that, can you buy this, can you just do it? Like, you know, then it's like, there's not the weight of like the
closest
years
makes
of friendship.
It harder,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
There's obviously certain friends who you have, like, I don't know, I live with my best mate for years and years and years. I mean, such a good time. And she moved to another country and I got engaged and it just felt like it was the natural time for us to split up. But I think we had quite an unusual thing where, like, we were never keeping score. It was just like, you buy this, I buy that, you buy this, I buy that.
If it comes from a place of mutual understanding.
Exactly.
And, like, you were at the right, like, you chose to move out when it was, like, the right time.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
I think that's, like, quite a hard point to reach with a lot of people. I don't think that's the normal way that living with friends is.
It's tit for tat. Actually, someone at dinner the other day asked me, like, how does it work with you and Sophie? Because you've both, like, not that you've both got your own agendas, but you're also kind of, like, both, like...
I do have my own agenda, actually, Hannah.
Yeah,
I just said it, I actually do.
She's been meaning to bring this up.
It's not that we've got our own agendas, which is like you're both obviously trying to do like very different things, but you're kind of a similar sphere. How does it work? And I was like, well, it's just because I think we're both quite lucky in the sense that we're both very much like, oh no, you go on. Like people to each other.
Oh yeah, totally,
like it's not
totally.
Like someone is like, or it's even like the most kind of like, I think like the most intense conversation that we ever had about anything like this is at the shoot for Burger and Lobster. We both have the same best side.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is like the only like divas thing, and we had to kind of like mentally like, okay, no, we're swapping sides.
We just take turns. We just take turns. Who gets the good side on camera?
I'm so dead. That is so dope. And I really love that you found a way with that. That's so cute.
I was like, just one person can't always have it. We have to take turns. Otherwise, it's not fair.
What's the good side?
Left.
You were both like...
How do you tell?
Hello, I said my good side.
Yeah. I think that, you've kind of got to be in those situations when you're like sharing quite a lot of things, like whether it's professional, personal, domestic. Like you've just kind of got to be like...
Also, just being totally honest. Yeah. I think, like, the resentment and stuff comes because you're kind of like, I really wish you shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? Like, mumbling
in your
own head.
It's when you're shoving stuff
under
the carpet.
Yeah, and it's just be like, oh, please don't do that. That really annoys me when you do that.
Yeah.
It's a bit awkward and it's a bit like, all right. But, like, at least you know, like...
Also, if you say it in the right tone, it doesn't have to be something that's, like,
it doesn't
scary
have to be beefy, yeah.
You can say it in jest and not be like, I need to have a really serious conversation with you because I noticed that you actually had some of the milk and I bought that milk.
Yeah,
you were like, you're getting through the milk. What are you doing? You're having baths in it or something?
Yeah.
It's like a way that you can...
Yeah, that you can, like, without being an attack or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know if we've answered your question, mate.
Soz, probably move out.
Yeah, probably move out.
If you want to look after your friendship then move
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely.
Or set some boundaries.
Either set some boundaries or say, I love you, but I don't think that this is working for me anymore, living together, and I want our relationship to last, so.
Yeah. Actual boundaries, though, not Jonah Hill boundaries.
Yeah, we don't agree with Jonah Hill boundaries. So much has happened since we last recorded the podcast.
Yeah, that's actually so true.
There's so much juice in the internet that we haven't
extracted. There is a lot of juice in the internet.
I have to save the Jonah juice for next season.
Jonah
Unless we
juice.
Do, like, a bonus episode. We'd have to get, like, a really good guest.
Really good guest, if you're listening. Adrian Brody,
I'm like,
Kano.
Yeah, I'm right here.
literally... Sorry that I haven't been enough. This has been great. I've really enjoyed the wine.
You're the finale guest to save the best to last. You are. I know we're going to get DMs from all our other guests.
We did specifically put you last.
Oh, I really appreciate that.
The best.
But if you can just get a better guest for that. Yeah. Just get someone really
good. Only Kano. Kano, Adrian Brody.
If you get Kano and you don't invite me here, we are finished.
No, you are coming back if we get Kano. Kano, you listening?
He's really into food and wine.
Noble Rot? Did he do something with Noble Rot recently?
Did he?
Yeah, he's done a lot of like things with restaurants and like he's living a premium lifestyle.
Okay.
I do not blame him. Yeah, okay. I think he did an interview with Noble Rot where they brought him around and made him taste all their vintage champagnes. I was like,
oh my God, that would be like my dream date with him.
Yeah.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
So I'll see if I can find the article after we've done this. but yeah, I think we're wrapping up. Yaz, is there anything you want to plug?
Yes, there is something I want to plug, actually.
Yes.
I'm so impressed that I remember this. Hang on. But I'm touring at the end of the year. It'd be great if everyone, literally everyone, could come. And I will do some nice things on stage, like sing and say some stuff. And it's all going to be very cute and fun. And yeah, basically going on tour. Europe, UK, come.
We'll be there.
Can't wait. Amazing. If you've enjoyed this podcast at all, I know two episodes in a row that I've remembered to do remember to like
so
and subscribe. leave us a 5-star rating. And we've been bullying you guys so much into doing it. And it seems to have worked because we've got lots of lovely reviews.
Keep them coming.
We're continuing to hold you at gunpoint and saying that we won't make any more episodes until you say nice things about us. Sophie, is there anything you want to plug before we say bye-bye?
Not right now, but I just want to say thanks so much, everyone, for listening to season 3.
Yes, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you to all the sponsors for making it happen and to all of our lovely listeners and to all of our lovely guests. Thank you so much, Yasmin, for coming
today.
Thanks, Yaz.
And we will catch you next season unless we plan on doing a secret special bonus episode, but we'll see. To be confirmed.
We will see. Lots of love, gang. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.